503 times the word pray or prayer, any combination of the two, is mentioned in the Bible. 500 times. That's a lot. I think God wants us to pray. I'm not a rocket scientist. I do have my degree. But that's a lot. 508 times the word prayer or pray is mentioned in the Bible. We need to pray. Let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us tonight. Lord, as I was praying earlier today, Lord, we need you. Without you, we have nothing. And Lord, our church, our city, our state, our country, the world needs prayer. Prayer done in the right way. Prayer for the right reason. And Lord, because that is how we get your power. And I pray, Lord, that as a church, we would seek after it. That we would work diligently at it. And that it would not just be something that we do before we eat, but it would be something that we earnestly do. In your name, amen. I want you to think, in all honesty, this week, we can go back 7 days, from Wednesday to Wednesday. How much have you spent in prayer? Just think about it. And in that, I want you to think of how much have you prayed? When do you pray? And what do you pray for? The majority of Christians now spend less than 2 minutes a day in prayer. 2 minutes. The majority of that is geared around two things. Number one, we have to make sure that we bless the food. Because for some strange reason, we think that if we pray and ask God to bless the food, that it won't make us fat. It works. Look. It works. Okay? But no, there's scripture about that we should pray for our food. And it's in the Bible, so I'm not saying that, you know, that we should not do it. Okay? It's biblical to do it. My son, when we sit down, Blake is always like, can I pray for the food? Sure, go right ahead. We want to encourage him to do it. And he's getting better at it. At first it was, dear Lord, food, amen. You know, and now he's actually getting some type of words that get in there where he'll look. The other day, Charlene made something, and he said, can I pray? And I said, yes, go ahead. And he said, dear Lord, thank you for the, and he looks up at Charlene and says, what is this called? And, you know, and she says, and he says, okay. And then he goes back and says what it was. And all right, he's picking it up. He's listening. He's learning. But most people will pray for their food, and then they get their little 5-second prayer before they go to sleep. So now I lay me down to, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, and you go on with the rest of it. I don't even know what it is, but there you go. Something about a bellyache, something, you know, but that's about it. When you look in the Bible, there are several times in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This is talking about verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they, the 3,000 souls, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. It's important to pray. Prayer is what's going to get our church to grow.
So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of activities that we can do and we should. In Acts chapter 6, and the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. And it goes on and it talks about how they want to get the deacons so that they can go back to studying the Word of God and back to prayer. In Acts, it also goes on to say in Acts chapter 2 that the Lord added to the church daily as he should as such as should be saved. So it's the Lord that added. How did the Lord add? Why did the Lord add to the church? Because of prayer. Because in Acts chapter 1, they spent some time in the upper room together in one accord with one mind, and they were in prayer. They got together and said, we need God. That's what it came down to. We need God. And the only way for us to get God's attention is through prayer. We need God. At Heritage Baptist Church, we need God. I pray that God would build our church. I pray that God would add to our church and that He would bring in the right people and that would help us out and to continue to grow Heritage Baptist Church and to see us be effective and to see us continue in the faith. And I'm so glad that God has answered that prayer, and I look around and I see people that have been added to the church over the number of years. And it's encouraging. Yeah, when Charles came in today, I know he's been working a lot, and I thought, man, I'm so excited to see him. I am. When the Leannis came in, I know Ryan, he works a lot, and so sometimes, because of his schedule, that's what happens when you work with any type of retail. Even Super One is a type of retail. Sometimes you got to work on Sunday. Am I right? But I was excited to see him come in. I was hoping to see Jason today. I always count it out and say, okay, he should be here on this Wednesday, which means he won't be here Sunday. Trying to find his schedule. And you know, I think of the different ones. I could go through everybody and just say how the different things about it. And then there's some, man, I wish, why are they here? No, just kidding. I still wonder why you're here, Jim. But it's amazing how God brings in the right people. And it's encouraging. And we need more of it. Why? So that we can do more for Christ. So that we can reach more. So we can do more. So that there are more people that are out there like the Leannis, and there are more Terrys and more Reeves and more Wins and more Moores and Donahues and Rogers. And even some Hobbs that are out there then need to find Heritage Baptist Church. And for us to get them, it starts with prayer. When God said, look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. He didn't say, go harvest. What did He say? Pray. Look at the fields. They're white. As preacher has said a number of times, when the field is white, Scott, what's it mean? It's getting ready to... It's ready. It's there. And if you don't get it, when it's harvest time, it's going to spoil. And He says, look, the fields are white. They're ready. There needs to be somebody that can go and bring them in. But He didn't say that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. That He would send them. Our job is to pray. God's job is to send the right people and then to bring them in. That does not mean that we get to do nothing but pray. There are a lot of people that will say, well, God will save who He wants to. I don't have to do anything. Well, you know, that's not right doctrine. Our responsibility is to go. It's pretty clear in the Bible. But we can't go and not pray. Because if we go without prayer, we are going on our own accord, our own abilities. And if we try to come here at Heritage Baptist Church and we've not prayed about it, we've not spent some time about it, we're just doing it in our own ability. And it's just a matter of time before it all falls apart. Because we can only do so much in our own power. There's only so much that I can do. There's so much that Pastor Shear can do. There's only so much that our deacons can do and our Sunday school teachers and our bus workers can do in their own ability. Eventually we get tired, we get worn down because it's within our own ability. But when we're tapped into God's power, it is limitless. And the only way to do that is to spend time in prayer. So think about that. How much time have you spent in prayer? My homiletics teacher, that's the study of preaching, his name is Pastor Mike Johnson, he's in Redding, California. He would give us a sheet of paper every Monday. And he said, be honest with this. And he had on there, Bible reading, prayer. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How much time each day did you do it? How much time did you read your Bible? How much time did you pray? And if we think about that, and yes, it's great for pastors to do that, but in the New Testament here, it's talking about those 3,000 that just got added to the church, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And then it goes on, it says, and in prayers. And that's the reason why it spread so quickly, is because the congregation got together and said, let's pray. Let's continue to have God in this. If they didn't, it wouldn't have happened. Heritage Baptist Church, we need God's prayer. We need to pray and have God's power. We know that, number one, that we need prayer so that we can have victory over sin. I'll tell you, if I try to get through it on my own, I'll fall into sin. I'll lose my temper. I'll get upset. I'll do whatever it is that you have a problem with in your own ability. If you've not spent time in prayer, it's going to happen. Because we can't do it on our own. Our flesh is weak. Even Paul, who is the greatest Christian, said, hey, the things that I do or that I want to do, I don't do them. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. Why? Because our flesh is weak. And we've got to spend time in prayer. We need a prayer for forgiveness of sin and to get victory over sin. We know the verse that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know the Bible says that if we regard any iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. We have to pray or we will continue in sin. And if we continue in sin, we just get weaker and weaker as Christians, and eventually we fall off the scene. There are people that should be here at Heritage Baptist Church tonight, but do not go to church anymore because they could not get victory over sin. And rather than getting convicted about it time and time again, when they come to church, they just stop going to church. Because it's easier in their eyes to do that. Why? Because they're trying to do it in their own ability. And we can't. We have to have God's power, and we can only get God's power through prayer. We have to have it. Heritage Baptist Church should be called a house of prayer. You ever sit there and you hear somebody start to pray and you think, oh, how long is this one going to take? So they start praying and they pray and they pray and they pray. The challenge is that we're not used to praying like that. We're used to a 30-second prayer and that's it. Because that's what happens at home. And then when we hear somebody, if you ever hear Dr. Williams pray, whoa, man. That man knew how to pray. How did he do it? Because at home, he prays. And he prays. And he prays. I've been at his home where I walked into his, what he calls a prayer closet. It's basically a prayer room. And it's nothing but missionary cards all over, and he has lists of pastors and missionaries and laymen and other people that he's met and business owners and different things, and he prays each day. He has a different group of people that he prays for, and it's common for him to spend 3 to 4 hours in prayer. How did he do it? He started out praying. And then each day he went a little bit longer and went a little bit longer and went a little bit longer until he got to the point where he could pray for 3 to 4 hours. And he'd get into the pulpit and he'd start to pray, and you could tell he was a man of prayer. We need prayer. Not only do we need prayer for victory over sin, but we do need prayer for the things that we have in our life. It talks about in Matthew chapter 6 about prayer and how that we should pray, as it talks about after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And it continues on and it says, give us this day our daily bread. What's he saying? Pray for your needs. But it shouldn't be the number one thing that we pray for. When we went through in our Sunday school class and I've taught about that, about how each one of those, hallowed be thy name, and is a category that you're supposed to pray for. But we need to have prayer in our lives. We need God to spend some time with us. Sadly, it's missing in a lot of churches. I was talking with a coworker today, and she said that she went to a church with her boyfriend, and she said she didn't really care for it because it felt like being at a concert every single week. And she said it kind of feels empty. So all they do is they talk about the easy topics and just the feel-good stuff. And she said, yeah, it's enjoyable to go to it, but it's not very satisfying. I thought, man, you need to come to Heritage Baptist Church. Because if you want to get some conviction, we'll preach at you and get you some conviction. And, you know, but even they know that it's empty. Why? Because they don't spend any time in prayer. All it is just to draw in and get people to come so they could say that they attended church. That's all it is. We need God. The only way for marriage to make it and to make it right is prayer. Some of the sweetest times in my wife and I, in our marriage, is we at night spending some time together and just where we'd read a chapter, or I'd read some, and she'd read some, and then we'd spend some time in prayer. And we'd have a list, and she would pray, and then I would pray, and she would go down and pray for the things that she wanted to, and then I would, and we'd spend some time before we went to sleep just enjoying that time in prayer together as a couple. That's so nice. So encouraging. It's kind of hard to be upset with your spouse if you know that you got to go and have some devotions together. It's kind of hard to sit there and pray right beside them and be upset at them. Make sure you clean the air. Make sure it's right. For our families to make it. Boy, I am scared for my kids. To see how things have happened just since I was a kid till now, I wonder what's going to happen in the next 20 years for them. And the shift that could happen. The slide that could continue to happen. I pray that God would give America more years where we'd get back on the right track and say, all right, let's get back doing the things that this country was founded on, which number one is God. And then secondly, our support of Israel. And get back to those things that made America strong. It's not the politicians that are going to do it. It's the churches that are going to do it. We have to be the ones to say, God, we want you back in our country. It's got to come to us. Our children, though, boy, I don't know what they're going to have. In our just in our time frame, we've seen same-sex marriage become viewed as okay and acceptable and now legal. We've seen how drugs are now starting to become more and more legal in different places. We've seen how the in the movies and how much more wicked that they've gotten. And how they push the envelope and continue, and each, it seems like every time they're trying to push the envelope to see how much that they can get away with. Somebody sent me a message that I don't know if it's true or not, but something about some movie that they're trying to come out with that says that Jesus and the disciples were homosexuals. I don't know if there's any truth to it or not. I wouldn't put it past Hollywood to do it, because that's how they are. Our children are going to grow up, and they're going to have to be adults in a world that is going to be vile and wicked. Why? Because we're already in a vile and wicked world. And biblically, it's just going to wax worse and worse as the day of the Lord approaches. So we know biblically it's supposed to happen. We need to spend some time in prayer for them. Pray that God would continue to work on their lives. My biggest fear is that my kids, when they get older, walk away from church and walk away from God. And I pray and I beg God, please keep me right with you so that they have an example to follow after. I don't want to be one of those people that somebody knocks on their door when they're an adult and says, hey, would you like to come visit our church? And say, oh yeah, when I was a kid, I used to go to church. My dad was an assistant pastor. Now I don't go to church anymore. Not because of me, but because I want my kids to be happy. And I know that the only way that they can truly be happy is to be grounded in the Word of God and to be right with God and be anchored in a good fundamental Baptist church. And I beg God that God would work on their heart and keep them soft and moldable so that they would. But it's going to take prayer. So I want you right now, as everyone should have, if you haven't done it already, a list of what you want to pray for. Detailed. And I can't tell you what to pray for. That's between you and God. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, you need to have this and this and this in there. But you need to have something in there that's important to you. And to beg God and say, please, God, would you please work in my life in this area? This is something that I need right here. I hope you've got that. And what we're going to do, it's 8:15 right now. is we're going to take 10 minutes till 8:25. We're going to spend some time in prayer as a church. Now, you have two options. You can pray where you're at, or you can come down and kneel at the altar and pray. I'm not going to tell you which one. That's up to you. Nancy, if you come over and just start playing, just play one verse of Sweet Hour of Prayer. Just one verse. Then when you're done, just stop. Okay? And we're going to just spend some time in prayer. If you want to kneel at your seat, kneel at your seat. If you want to stay in your seat, stay in your seat. If you want to come down to the altar, come down to the altar. But let's spend some time in prayer. It's important. God says 508 times, pray. Pray. Why? Because we need God. Nancy, if you would, let's spend some time in prayer.